Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. More analysis of your Toronto Blue Jays and Major League Baseball. This is Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Dun. Welcome back to, not welcome back. Welcome to Baseball Central. If you're listening to the Jeff Blair Show, welcome back to whatever. Anyhow.
And go.
Yeah, your Blue Jays lost last night. Head up ass baseball, I'm calling it.
What did you call it?
It's head up ass baseball. It really is. It was like watching a bunch of people who've never played the game try to play the game. Before we get around to that, though, got to make this announcement. Of course, you know that the Raptors start their best of seven NBA series tonight against the Miami Heat. And we at Sportsnet 590 The Fan want to send you, not necessarily you, Kevin Barker, although I'd probably do a road trip with you. We want to send you on a road trip to Game 4 Monday night. One lucky winner will get to fly in style with Air Canada. Enjoy a one-night stay in Miami to cheer on your Raptors. Probably get absolutely totaled on South Beach as well. Enter online in the Fan Club for your chance to win and then tune to hear if you're a qualifier. Then on Friday, we'll announce the grand prize winner in the Andrew Walker Show. It's the Northside Pride Contest presented by Air Canada. For full contest rules and details, head to sportsnet.ca/590. And I want to congratulate today's Northside Prize Contest qualifier, John Drury of Pickering. You have just qualified for the grand prize and are one step closer to flying to Miami to see your Raptors in Game 4 again. Tune in Friday to the Andrew Walker Show to find out if you're a winner. For full contest rules and details, head to sportsnet.ca/590. And for full details on last night's 2-1 loss to the Texas Rangers, go to sportsnet.ca as well. So, a 2-1 loss. Great start from R.A. Dickey. Ta-da! Bullpen didn't crap the bed.
Nice.
Nicely done, bullpen.
Way to go.
But Michael Saunders, brain cramp in the base paths. Ryan Goins couldn't bunt when asked to and wasn't asked to bunt another time when he probably should have.
Why would he be asked to?
Anyhow.
Did you say he wasn't asked to bunt in the seventh inning?
No, I'm thinking about the seventh inning.
Yeah, he should have bunted.
Yeah.
He didn't have. Why would you have to tell him?
No, because I'm assuming.
I think that's what you meant, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And then, of course, in the ninth inning, he did bunt. And as Greg Zahn said after the game, and he broke it down perfectly. I mean, it was an example of how not to bunt. Show your kids how to do that. Got around late, and the bat was at the wrong angle. Easy play to get Kevin Pillar. Pinch runner Darwin Barney out at second base. So, Kevin, as I said, it was head-up-ass baseball. It really was. Dumb.
Well,
dumb baseball.
Well, I'm not going to be that harsh. I just think 1-5, when they're 2-for-17 with 8 strikeouts and they leave 9 on base, you're not going a lot of games like that. That's why they're hitting 1-5. 250 strikeouts and 881 at-bats. 103 of those were with runners on, 64 of them with guys in scoring position. 40 of those are scoring position and two outs. What I'm trying to say here is they're striking out way too much. You can't get a hit unless you put the ball in play. I think that's bottom line. And, you know, until they shorten up and stop taking big swings and trying to hit the three-run homer with nobody on base, it's going to be very hard to do. I think you have to buy into it. I've said this earlier a couple of times, that you have to split the plate in half and not try and cover the entire thing. And right now they're trying to do that. The approach on the on-deck circle or in the dugout's not being taken to the plate, 1-9. Now, you know, there's certain exceptions to that rule. Donaldson comes to mind. He's one of them. But, you know, he's different. That's a different kind of hitter. It's just one – everybody else is just – when they walk to the plate, it's different. You know, the approach is – I think they have a good game plan. Brooke Jacoby, he was my hitting coach when I was with the Reds. He knows what he's doing. You know, that they're game planning for every one of these guys. It's up to the hitters to take that game plan to the plate and execute it. And right now, they're just not doing that. Whether it's looking at the scoreboard and seeing that the numbers are really not where they want to be, you know, you're in the big leagues. Mm-hmm. Somehow you're going to have to block all of that out, simplify it, and not let a guy throw 88 right by you a lot, like what happened last night. That's, you know, that was hard to watch. I'm with you. It's, you know, I'm not to the point, I think, where I'm giving up on this team, because I really do think this team is really good.
And you can't give up on anybody in this division.
And that's another point. You know, if the Blue Jays were playing halfway decent, you could run away with this division easy.
Yep.
You really could. And I think that's incentive enough for every guy on that, you know, 1-9 in that lineup to say, hey, let's start shortening up a little bit. It's not because of lack of effort. Some of the guys are trying too hard, and you try too hard at this level, it just does not work. Because you know what pitchers do and catchers do? They see you over swinging, and what do? They pull the string a little bit more. They get you out in front. They get you looking certain counts. They start flipping breaking balls at 68 miles an hour, and they throw 88-mile-an-hour fastballs right by you. Yeah, That's what happens when you try too hard.
When Josh Donaldson said that it's not the tri-league, he had a couple of meanings to that. It is the one sport where you can try too hard and it isn't going to work. I mean, it doesn't matter. So we talked about the Blue Jays hitters approaches. I mean, you've heard all the post game interviews. Somebody asked John Gibbons. I don't know who did this. Hopefully it's not one of our people. Somebody asked John Gibbons post game, why don't you coach them to not swing or to not strike out as much? I'm paraphrasing.
He said old news quote.
Yeah. Anyhow. Coach them to not strike out. That's what we should do. Coach them to not strike out. Anyhow, this was Brooke Jacoby, the Blue Jays hitting coach, in conversation with Shai Davidi last night about the offensive woes for the team. This is a quote from Brooke Jacoby. Quote, some guys have an approach, but they're not committed to it. If I'm up and out over the plate and he throws me one in and I swing at it and get jammed, to me, that's not committing to your approach 100%. Last year, early on, this team hammered fastballs, and then the other teams would run to their breaking stuff. A lot of guys, I think, are looking for the breaking stuff right now and not getting to the fastball. That's what I'm saying. You've got to trust in your ability to hit the fastball and stay on it. Kevin, none of these guys are young. Why wouldn't they trust, maybe Gomes, why wouldn't they trust in their ability to hit the fastball and stand? Why would Troy Tulowitzki, Edwin Encarnacion, who, by the way, has not been hitting the ball a ton, in case people haven't noticed, why would these guys have difficulty trusting in their ability to hit the fastball and stand?
I really think it's contagious. I think they see one guy swinging really hard and trying too hard to do things outside the box. And when you try and do that, you know, people laugh at this level when you say things like this about athletes that are this good at this level. Well, it does. It's really that simple. I mean, you hear guys that say when they're struggling, basically they're swinging at balls and taking strikes. How many times could you say that yesterday? A lot. That's what they do. They're taking basically 88 to 91 on, you know, thigh high on the plate, on the white part of the plate. It's not on the black parts. It's on the white part. And usually when we see that happening, it could be any number. This team 1-9 would wear that out. Right now, they're just not doing that for one reason or the other. Whether it could be numerous things. It's individual. But I do think, you know, once they simplify it and say, we're going to give you one half of the plate, and I think this is what Brooke Jacoby's trying to say, is we're going to give you one half of the plate, but when you throw it at that half that we're looking at, we're going to put a good path on it, and we're going to put the ball and play hard. And I do say that. Put the ball and play hard. You can't get a hit unless you put the ball in play. That's the first thing they need to start doing. And until they start doing these things and trying to simplify it, you know, it's just real hard to think that this entire team could go through a slump for this long. You know, it's been 27 games. I've seen teams that I played on everywhere, winter ball, minor leagues, big leagues, that would have 8 to 10 games somewhere in that range where you just couldn't figure out whether it's weather, you know, whether whatever it is, whether it's travel, whatever. And then after that, guys starting to figure it out, and then one guy would carry the load for a little while, and then the guy would want to follow the lead, and then it's contagious and it's trickle-down effect. Well, right now, it's everybody for this long is struggling. It's a little, you know, it's a little weird. It's different, and it's hard to watch. And until I think they just simplify it. I think it's really that simple at this level. You have to simplify it, because now the word's out. If you've noticed, at least the last four games, it's all fastballs. We're going fastball away, fastball away, fastball away. We're going to flip you one just to show it to you, but we're going to get you out with fastballs.
Mm-hmm.
Really? I think that's the approach they need to take, is really, this can't happen anymore. Let's do something about it. And I think they're good enough to do it. They'll figure it out, but it's going to have to be sooner than later, I think.
How worried are you right now about manager's job status, things of that nature?
Well, if you're John Gibbons, would you be worried?
Yep.
Okay, then. Yeah. You know, I'm not Gibby. I don't know how he thinks, but, you know, I think after he, you know, redid his contract a little bit, because the way I was looking at it, he was thinking, heck, if I can't get a big deal with this team, I'm not going to get one. Well, when you get off to a start like this, and the one thing you knew you could count on was hitting, and they're not doing any of that, and the American League East, let's face it, right now is not any good. You know, one team just won't take the bull by the horns and run away with it. Hey, it's up for grabs, you know? So, yeah, I'm sure, and you can hear it in his voice whenever he talks after the games, and it's basically like, hey, you watch the same game I do. Mm-hmm. You know, it's well, we need to do everything better, run the bases better. We need to obviously put the ball in play. That's the biggest thing. That's the most alarming thing to me, is the ball's not being put in play, which is, you know, you can understand if you run into guys throwing 95 to 100 and then they have that devastating slider and you run into those for 3 or 4 days and your team just can't figure it out. You get it.
Right.
But, hey, no offense to 88 to 91, but to a team like that, I just don't get it. Basically, what it was last night is a big, huge, slow breaking ball, and then 88 to 91 straight, and he would, on occasion, very occasionally, cut the ball when he was ahead in the count. But mainly it was four seam away in that slow breaking ball. Eliminate the breaking ball and hit the heater. I mean, it's yeah. So, yeah, if you're John Gibbons, I'm sure you're going home at night and going calling your wife and saying, hey, maybe this is not looking so good. You hope not. You hope this is – because I still think – I'm going to say this. The way they play defense and the way their starting pitching is, doesn't starting pitching and defense win championships?
It's supposed to.
Okay.
So I was
well,
told
what's
that.
Going on here? Yeah, yeah, that's – so
we may have to revisit that idea. But, yeah, starting pitching and defense is supposed to – you know what I've always thought, and I said this last year during the playoffs – starting pitching and defense can win you playoff series. Hitting and starting pitching takes you to the postseason.
Timely hitting, and they're just not getting that at all. And that's, you know, I think that's, if you're going to hang your hat on anything, you think, man, the middle infield and the guys they got in the outfield are catching the ball like crazy, and they're making the plays they should, and they're making it look easy. You can hang your hat on that, but it gets down to the American League East, man. You got to score runs because of the parks they play in, and you know, let's face it, the other teams, they can score runs. Obviously, they're not doing it right now. That's what I said. It's up for grabs. If that's not incentive enough, you don't have incentive.
We are going to be joined, by the way, by the mayor, Sean Casey of the MLB Network.
Maybe he can tell us how.
Well, he knew a few things about hitting.
He's a career 300 hitter. Man, if anybody can do it, he can.
Yeah, talk about putting the ball in play. What did you see from Ari Dickey last night, by the way?
Well,
first of all, before you do that, because I want to talk to Ari Dickey, because I've been awfully hard on Ari Dickey. Well, I want to talk about Ari Dickey, but the bullpen last night, Brett Cecil comes in, gets booed, one pitch, gone. Drew Storen, still not the velocity you want to see, but you saw Drew Storen do one thing last night that you really liked.
I did. I saw you. I said this at the beginning of the season. Marco Estrada this year, because the word's out, he likes to flip the breaking ball early. He likes to elevate with two strikes. May need to throw his best pitch a lot to get guys out and be efficient and get through the game and help his team win. What's he doing? He's throwing a lot of changeups. Drew Storen's best pitch is what? His slider. Why not throw it? If you're going to get beat with your best stuff. That's your
Miller.
Slider. What did he do last night?
He
come in flipping
Andrew
that
Miller
slider like crazy. He would show the heater away to throw the slider the next pitch. Now, that's how you pitch. To me, you're going to get beat, and I think that's basically what Pete Walker and him's come to the realization to. Hey, maybe the mile per hour is not going to be there for a while, but my best pitch, which is my slider's got some bite to it. It's breaking now. Let's throw it until I can't throw it anymore. Get guys out and help my team win. That's how you're supposed to do it, right?
This is a message from the Canadian National Public Alert System.
This is a test of the Alert Ready system. This system is used to warn Ontario residents of serious and immediate threats to their lives and safety. In case of an actual emergency, we will use this system to share valuable information about what the threat is, where it is happening, and what you can do to protect yourselves and your families from that threat. This has been a test of the Alert Ready system.
This was a message from the Canadian National Public Alert System. We now return to our regular programming.
27 quality starts in a row. I like the confidence, Jeff.
Well, and we did say that we know that R.A. Dickey post-April is a different pitcher than R.A. Dickey in April. And well, we certainly saw that,
He's a smart guy.
Last night. And you know what? And I kind of fell for Wilner. We had Wilner on with Stephen Brund earlier, and he was making the point about, you know, in the Blue Jays talk, people are really hammering R.A. Dickey. I mean, we got to talk about this before Sean Casey joins us. Here's the thing about R.A. Dickey. We do have Sean Casey on the line. I'm going to make this on the line. I'm going to make this very, very, very quick. R.A. Dickey, as we told you when he came here, as John Gibbons told you when he came here, is going to drive you nuts because he's a knuckleball pitcher. He is going to stink sometimes. Other times, he's going to be unhittable. And I keep telling you, he's going to give you 200 innings. And people go, Jeff, what difference does it make if it's 200 crap innings? Or if of the 200 innings, 101 of them are crap. Still innings. Someone's got to notch those innings, especially on a staff that's got Marco Estrada coming off a high total season, Aaron Sanchez on an innings limit, Marcus Stroman probably on some sort of limit. We really don't know. So all I'm saying is the same thing I've been telling you for 3 years. R.A. Dickey is what R.A. Dickey is. It's no point complaining about it. He's not going to turn into Bob Gibson overnight. He's not going to turn into Bob Gibson between the first and second inning. So deal with it. All right. Now I'm going to move on to Sean Casey, MLB analyst from the MLB Network. I'm just going to call him the mayor because he's the mayor.
That's right.
He's the mayor. Sean, how are you, man?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Oh, we're doing well. We're getting a little exercised here. Fans are, I'll tell you what, man, this bandwagon, people aren't jumping off the bandwagon. People are hijacking it and driving it into buildings. I mean, if only they jump off the bandwagon, it'd be fine. Kevin ran out some numbers, Sean. This is a team that has struck out, what was the percentage of time?
250 times over 881 at-bats.
Which is not good. When you have a team top to bottom where guys are striking out, Sean, you know, what do you, I mean, I know there's no magic elixir. I know that the manager can't coach these guys out of it. But what has to happen for this to get right?
Well, I mean, I think this is a team sometimes, especially in the middle of the order, it's going to live and die by the long ball. You know, I think, you know, maybe you're seeing that a little bit right now. When I look at this club, I've been there before where in the first month of the season, I think I hit .120, and at the end of the year, you know, my numbers were close to what they were, you know, right around 300 and hit some home runs, some doubles, drove in what I was supposed to drive in. So yeah, I look at the guys like, I mean, the one number that concerns a little bit is Tulowitzki, just because I felt like he struggled when he came over there last year. And I think they're really relying on him big time. But I look at Batista and Encarnacion in the middle of that lineup, and are they going to punch out here and there? Yeah, no doubt about it. But they're also going to run into a few here when they get hot. And those guys could get streaky, and they'll put you on your back for 3 weeks. So, you know, I look up and down that lineup. Saunders has been a bright spot at the top with Donaldson obviously doing what he's doing. But I think once, you know, Batista, Encarnacion, and Tulo is not going to hit .165 the whole year. You know, once he gets going, I think things will start turning.
Hey, you just mentioned Tulowitzki and Russell Martin. I think are the two guys that, you know, are struggling a little bit more than everybody else. Russell Martin, you know, you said a little bit about you struggling and whatever. Is there an easier way to struggle? Like Tulowitzki right now, to me, every time I watch him, he takes the exact same swing on every pitch. So right. It's very hard unless you're in the video room with him and can slow it down and see exactly what he's doing, maybe swinging under the ball, whatever. But his swing looks exactly the same. And then you look at Russell Martin, and he basically looks like he couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat. Now, to me, which one's easier to get out of right now?
Well, you know what, Bark? I mean, you know how this game goes, man. It can be so frustrating. You know, Tulo is one of the hardest workers in the game, and you know he's in there every day taking extra batting practice and all that stuff. And you know, maybe sometimes, you know, I know for a lot of guys, you know, sometimes it's good to maybe back off a little bit and get out there and grip and rip sometimes, you know. But I mean, I look at Russell Martin. Russell Martin's, you know, I think one thing about these guys is there's track records. And you go down Russell Martin's career and go down Tulo's career and look at the back of that baseball card, and every year they're close to what they usually are. You know, and right now Russell Martin looks like he's straight lost up there at the plate. But I think, you know, the guy's a pro. you got to get in there. You know, I don't know if it's visual or what it is at times, but, you know, it's at some point he's going to have a big game, and maybe that big game snowballs into a big month, and then it gets him back on track. So I think they just got to keep grinding and find a way to, you know, get that one good game.
Sean, Kevin made the point a little earlier that, you know, we are in May 3rd. But, you know, we're looking around the American League East, and I guess if you're a Blue Jays fan and you're trying to find something to hang your hat on, it's the fact that nobody's really run away with this thing, and a lot of teams seem to have a lot of issues right now. I know the New York Yankees, I think the back page of the New York Post had a ship sinking with Brian Cashman on the bow of it. What happened to this division? Because I think a lot of us went into this year thinking, top to bottom, this is going to be a great division. I mean, even Tampa's going to throw some pitching at you. What's happening here?
Well, you know what? I think it is going to be a great division. I think the division, you know, Boston and Baltimore are up there at the top. Boston's been playing pretty good baseball. Tampa, Toronto kind of linger around 500. New York, you know, the funny thing about New York is everyone's talking about how great their bullpen is, but they can't get to it. You know, mm-hmm. it's tough to be, you know, have the, you know, two best pitchers in the game at the back end, but you can't get to it. So, yeah, I just think, I think this division is going to be good. I think Boston's going to be good all year. Baltimore's been surprising, but I do think, listen, at the end of the day, when I look up and down Toronto's rotation and I see Strom and I see Sanchez, you know, what he's done, Hap's having a nice year, Estrada's good, Dickey's hot and cold. But I think, you know, that bullpen needs to get a little better in the back end. I know Osuna's been pretty dominant, but Cecil and Storm need to get things going. I think you win in the biggies with that rotation. I think the Blue Jays will make a run here, no doubt about it.
Okay, so, you know, obviously you've been on some really good teams. You've been on some teams that are struggling to put the ball in play or whatever, however they were struggling. Is there anything a hitting coach or a manager can do? You know, the old thing is everybody says, well, Gibby should go in and throw tables. And you know, I've been in a lot of clubhouses where guys do that, and it's more funny than it is anything because, you know, you see the cups going everywhere and the cooler spilled. And is there anything that a big league manager and a big league hitting coach can do to a team that struck out 250 times over 881 bats? Is there anything they can do differently?
Well, you know what, Bark. I mean, I think you are who you are. So, I mean, this lineup's going to strike out, but I do also think at times when you are striking out and it's kind of contagious that the game speeds up on you. You know, you start losing that when you're going well. The game is slow and the ball looks slow and you're taking pitches that usually you know you're taking the tough pitches and you're hammering the pitches you should be hammering. When you're struggling, you're not swinging at the pitches you should be swinging at, and when you get it, you're not hitting it. So I think, you know, I know for me personally, when I struggled and I felt like I was, you know, missing pitches or striking out a lot, I almost went back to the drawing board of hey, I need to get jammed. I need to let the ball travel a little bit further. I need to see the ball a little deeper. I need to see it a little better and slow myself down. Instead of when you're struggling, you want to gear it up and everything speeds up. At some point, you got to realize, you know, I got to slow this myself down, take a deep breath every pitch, and let the ball travel a little more.
Sean, you know, we were kind of focused here yesterday on Texas coming into Toronto, you know, rematch after Game 5. Hell, we even had Batista face Sam Dyson again. But I was online and I was watching Pittsburgh and the Cubs, and of course the Pirates, the Cubs won the game 7-2. They got like a 4-run fifth, and of course later in the game, Addison Russell gets hit, Starling Marte gets hit, Ben Zobrist gets hit by pitches. As a former member of the Cincinnati Reds, when did this hatred between Cubs, Pirates, Reds, and Cardinals really start to take off? Was it when they got together in the same division? Because, I mean, I always tell people that, you know, people talk about Red Sox, Yankees, you know, Dodgers and Giants is a pretty serious rivalry. But you watch National League Central games, and it's like trench warfare.
It is. It's getting intense. It really is. And it goes back to I felt like when I was there, you know, I think the Cardinals were always kind of the people in that division you couldn't stand because they, hey, listen, at the end of the day, they were the top dogs and they won every year. But, you know, sometimes the way La Russa went about things sometimes would drive you crazy and, you know, the Cardinal way and all that stuff. But I tell you what, you know, I think the Cubs are on the scene. You know, Madden's come in and said, listen, it's time for us to win. They got Johnny Lester, Lackey's joined that rotation. Arrieta's one of the best in the game. I think Clint Hurdle years ago you know, four or five years ago, changed the culture in that clubhouse. And you can see Pittsburgh and Chicago now starting to battle. You know, you got the wild card game, last year, and then the Cardinals and Pittsburgh are becoming that rivalry. St. Louis and Chicago can't stand each other. They're so close to each other. So I love when I look at a division and I see, you're right, that there's starting to be a little hatred there. Some rivalry, you know, a little bit of guys getting beamed, back and forth. You got to look at the NL Central.
Yeah, and every time I have a guy like you on the show that's been around, it's sort of old school. I like to ask him about the way baseball's going and the new rule changes and you know, all the different kinds of changes around second base. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was playing, I was never fast enough. This rule didn't apply to me. I would never get close enough to second base to take a guy out. Now, it wasn't because of lack of effort. It just was, you know, I was never fast enough. Do you sitting back and doing what you do at the MLB Network and calling some game for the Reds, and you're always around baseball, what is your census around the teams that you see and talk to, and what's your feeling on where baseball's going when it comes to that?
You know what, Bark? I mean, I go back and forth. I do like the job Rob Manfred's doing, and I think that, you know, them getting together with the union and trying to make the game better. You know, I know the collisions at the plate. You know, I think that was people were trying to get used to that, but I think it's worked out good, and I think, you know, people are getting used to the rule. I think I like guys still going in hard at second base. I think, obviously, when you saw the Utley slide late last year and you saw, Gong break his leg in out here in Pittsburgh, and the guys that were getting hurt and being out for a long time, you know, nobody wants to see that. But I'm kind of old school too, Bark. What I think, like, you know, don't take, you know, that's the one aspect where you can kind of get physical in the game where you're taking a guy out at second base so I kind of like, you know, when guys are getting hitting in the ribs still nowadays. You know, I like that it's old school and it sends a message and you're trying to protect your players. It's the only time really in baseball you can do it. So, you know, but I do like Rob Manfred. I think the replays worked out great. I think that Manfred's really got into forward thinking of how to make the game better and how to make it more appealing to the fans. So, you know, I do like the changes that they've done.
Sean, listen, man, we're going to let you run. It was great to talk to you. Enjoy your work on MLB Network. And as I said, thanks for joining us, man.
All right, guys, great talking to you. Bark, I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah,
man.
Thanks, man. Thanks.
Okay, see you, fellas.
Sean Casey, the mayor, the MLB Network. So you guys know each other a bit.
I do. I played against him in college. He played for Richmond Spiders, and I played Virginia Tech, obviously, and that's where I met him a long time ago.
Were you crossovers teammates at all?
No, I don't. No. Okay. Never. I played against him a lot in the minor leagues and in some in the big leagues when I was there, but you know, if you ask anybody in baseball, there's not one person that would not know who he is because of the personality and who he is and how he presents himself. And
yeah, and
he's one of a kind.
He's, I'll tell you what, he knows a little bit about the Blue Jays, too. And I wish if we did, probably should squeeze another 5 minutes out of him. He knows a little bit about the Blue Jays, too. He's a friend of Mark Shapiro, of course, from Cleveland. And not a lot of people know this. He actually spent time with the team in camp this year, in spring training. John Gibbon, Mark Shapiro brought him in just basically to have him around. He's a very positive guy. He just very popular teammate, popular opponent. Just real.
You don't want to be around him? I think he's that kind of guy. As everybody wants to be around him. They hear him talking. Yeah. It's like a guy you just want to walk over to and just listen. It's not, you know, because he usually when he talks, it's usually funny or it's something good or he's spinning it a different way than other people would spin it. It makes it. I think he's one of the guys that still remembers baseball supposed to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fun game and it's grownups playing a game. And I think he still understands that. And having a guy like that's great for baseball, yeah. I think.
You know, there are a couple of other guys like that. I mean, I was actually lucky enough to, during the World Series, when you'd end up going out for dinner with Luis Gonzalez, who was working for Fox Sports at the time, and almost the same guy, like in a lot of ways, like Casey. Not a little quieter, but great storyteller. Really upbeat guy, really popular guy. So, yeah, it was great having Sean and getting his take on that, on Guy Scufflin. This is a guy hit 300, man.
Yeah, I like what he said. The guy's trying to go up and get jammed.
Yeah.
That's a different way of looking at it, because what that does is basically when you're struggling the way the Blue Jays are, it's obvious that you're not seeing the ball. That's basically what it is, you know, you see Troy Tulowitzki taking a 3-2 fastball, center cut, thigh high right down the middle. Well, obviously he's not seeing the ball, and he really doesn't know whether he wants to swing at it or not. So what do? You simplify it and try and let the ball get as deep as you can because you get to see it longer. That's the whole point in you trying to get jammed. Now, obviously you don't want to get jammed, but that's the thought process. That's telling yourself, I have to buy into letting the ball get deeper and see if I can get jammed. And the more balls I can barrel up and the more balls I put in play, guess what? The more hits you can get. So a hitter like that, that's 300 hitter, career hitter over 12 seasons, obviously knows exactly what he's doing and can simplify the slumps, make them shorter. And right now the Blue Jays are having trouble doing that. Their slumps are longer now.
Baseball Central with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker on Sportsnet 590. The Fan. We're going to take a break. When we come back, take a look around Major League Baseball, talk a little bit more about the Blue Jays and about tonight's pitching matchup. Marco Estrada on the mound for the Jays. Martin Perez on the mound for the Texas Rangers. First pitch at 7 o'clock. Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Absolutely free. Now, back to more Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
All right, welcome back to Baseball Central. Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker right up to Hockey Central. So the Hockey Central guys are going live to the Calgary Flames news conference. Am I correct? What time will that be? Will that be at the top of the hour? At noon. All right, Hockey Central will carry the Calgary Flames news conference live. Calgary Flames tying the can to Bob Hartley earlier today. You know, of course, that Chris Colabello and D. Gordon, along with the guy whose first name I can't remember, but his last name is Stumpf. Daniel Stumpf. Okay. Hanover versus Daniel Stumpf. What's his, anyhow, they've all been suspended for 80 games with due to performance-enhancing, testing positive for performance-enhancing substances. Dodgers right-handed pitcher Josh Rabin, who hadn't pitched this year due to a broken arm, got an 80-game suspension after testing positive for a banned peptide. The sixth Major League Baseball player this season to get suspended. He's claiming he had a severe case of intestinal flu and strep throat. Been there, done that. Was put on antibiotics, lost 20 pounds in less than 7 days. That didn't happen to me. Wish it had. To try and speed up his recovery, he took some supplements that I thought would help. Unfortunately, I was not as careful as I should have been. Yada, yada, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so it goes, and so it goes. The only reason I'm mentioning this is this didn't get a lot of coverage. But Peter Gammons, who a longtime baseball reporter, still pretty wired in with a lot of people in baseball, he on his website this weekend reported that he had seen or was made aware of the fact that there was a list of players who still had not been announced as having tested positive for steroids, for performance-enhancing substances. This was after D. Gordon. It was said that D. Gordon failed his test. So what I'm saying is, as Peter Gammon said, there's a chance that we're going to see in the next couple of weeks some other names come out, some other guys that have already failed this particular part of the Major League Baseball drug testing program. So there you go. There you go. I'm just putting that out there. Good to know, I would think.
That's too bad. Baseball's headed in such a great direction, and You know, I think it's a younger game now, and everybody wants to watch it. And this keeps coming up. It's too bad. Don't you get tired of talking about it and saying it? And I didn't.
No, I just you know, the only thing that concerns me is that we're going to see the Major League Baseball players do something stupid, like push for increased suspensions and all that, and then we're going to get to the point where you have union issues. And I really don't want to get into that right now. But Kevin, you'll love this. The Sport-O-Matic.
Yep.
On Twitter. This is from Jason Stark. I can't even pronounce these names, Travis, but I'm going to try. Apparently.
Now you know how I feel every Friday.
Well, the Braves called up Mike Foltynewicz, whatever. Foltynewicz? Foltynewicz. So if he pitches to AJ Pierzynski, P P-I-E-R-Z-Y-N-S-K-I. That is a combined Scrabble score of 59, which sets a new National League record.
Wow.
So there you go. I don't even know if that's true.
That's
but
awful.
It struck me as being funny. Other news around Major League Baseball. Good news for the Toronto Blue Jays. I mean, I hate to say it that way, but it is. J.J. Hardy of the Orioles out for a month to two months, with a hairline fracture in his right foot. We talked about the bean brawl incidents yesterday in last night in the Cubs 7-2 win over the Pirates. Johnny Cueto, remember him? Remember how you guys helped them melt down in the mound during the postseason? 6 runs and 5 innings pitched for the Giants in his return to Cincinnati. The Giants still won 9-6. Bartolo Colon threw 8 shutout innings in a 4-1 win over the in a 4-1 win over to the Braves. And James Shields. This is we don't know about the Padres because I mean they're not a very good team and we just really don't care about what goes on there. James Shields and the Padres beat the Rockies 2-1. In 6 starts this season, James Shields has a grand total of 7 runs support. So anybody in this team? Well, no, I mean there are guys in this team who haven't been getting much run support.
Ari Dickey.
There you go. Last night, a big moment in the game. Of course, thinking back to Game 5 of the American League Division Series, big moment last night. Jose Bautista comes up, man on first and second against Sam Dyson. You remember it happened, bat flip, all that stuff, beer cans. Well, that was before the bat flip. Mm-hmm. Bat flap, Edwin Encarnacion, Sam Dyson getting into it. Anticlimactic. Jose Bautista lines out the right field, and Michael Saunders, for reasons that are still inexplicable, took 5 steps toward third base instead of going back and waiting by the bag. By the time he got back, couldn't tag up and run, or didn't think he could tag up and run. But not necessarily what we were expecting from that showdown. A lot of people standing at the game. I shouldn't say what we're expecting, but a lot of people standing at the game anticipating a some sort of repeat. But Kevin, that game was played last night. No issues. It's pretty clear that the idea that there's going to be retribution in this series, I think the Rangers were listening to you yesterday. They just decided, hell, I'm not going to hit somebody who's hitting 230.
Why would you?
Screw that. Make them swing the bat.
Sometimes you don't want to poke the sleeping bear. You know what
exactly.
I'm saying? So, yeah, it's and I think, you know, in that time that Bautista lined out to right field, if he's hitting a fastball the way he always does, that game's outcome is a little different, I think. I think Dyson left some balls on the plate that usually Bautista hits a little bit harder than he's hitting them now. And, you know, when you have a little front side pull and you're over swinging, you're trying too hard, and you got a little, you know, your head's flying over and you're looking in the third base dugout. That's what happens. Your bad head is not as long as it is through the zone than it is if you keep your head down. I mean, it's that simple. That's why I keep saying that there's brighter days for the Blue Jays. All they got to do is simplify it, keep your head on the ball, swing at strikes, and let your talent take over. You do that, what's going to happen? Consistently yep. Rolling out great at bats. And then yeah, maybe this is a good thing. Maybe tonight against the left-hander. Facing left-hander tonight, right? Yes.
Yep.
Okay. Left-handed at the Rogers Center.
Hey, have at it, boys.
Go get them.
What do you think the chances are of that happening?
Not very good.
we got to stop.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, we're just kidding.
We're not
going to be dead. It's May 5th. It's still early.
Do not say
May
that.
It's May 3rd. It's early. I now know that I'm going to say it's early for another 2 weeks because we now know that the general manager of the Blue
Jays. I should get up and walk off.
You only got a couple of minutes left. The general manager of the Blue Jays has effectively said that in his mind, it stops being early the 40th game.
They're getting closer. What's that, 13 away?
Well, let's see.
Yeah, it's 12, yesterday
15
was 27.
Is 27. So 40 minus 27, 7 from 0, carry the 1 over. It's 3, yeah, 13.
It's getting closer.
Yeah, that Manitoba math never
Man,
fails you.
Good job.
Manitoba is West Virginia without mountains.
Who? Hey.
It is.
Hey.
So, what are you expecting to see from Marco Estrada tonight? Talk to me a little more about that. Your talk about his you talked earlier about his pitch usage and how he's kind of settled on it seems to me Marco's one of those guys, if they're not hitting it, I'm going to throw it.
Why not? If it ain't broke, don't fix it kind of thing.
And he also, reading bats and all that good stuff.
And you know what it is, too? He has one of the best pitches in baseball. He has same arm speed on a fastball that he does on a changeup that's 20-mile-an-hour difference. And he can throw a changeup in any count at any time for a strike. Why? Hey, I'm not the smartest guy around, but I can say if you can do that anytime you want to, why not do it a lot?
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's doing. That's what I said Drew Storen last night to me took it to the next level. Now, is he going to keep doing it? If he can keep throwing the slider for a strike, yes. I think that's what it is. I think you use the other team's aggression to your advantage, which to me, Texas Rangers are a very aggressive team in the strike zone when they walk to the plate. So, Marco Estrada, what do? You make it look like a strike when it's not, with that great devastating changeup. And I do say devastating. When you can throw it after locating a fastball, it is the best pitch after a spotted up heater in baseball, because it looks exactly the same, and it's not. The mile per hour is that much different. So if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Keep doing it. Use that aggression to your advantage. Go out, and I see him dominating, but basically we can stop talking about the pitching, right?
Yeah,
and I think get back to talking 1-9 and having great approaches and putting the ball in play and yada, 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 and hitting home runs to Rogers Center and getting everybody excited and using that, you know, to your yada, advantage, yada, home, yada, field, home field advantage.
Yeah,
and
yeah, well, they it's – I do want to remind people, because I know there was a lot of talk about this Dodgers series coming up. I know we're not done with the Rangers but bear with me here. A lot of people wondering about the pitching matchups. This is the latest we have right now. The pitching matchups for this weekend with the Dodgers coming in. Friday is scheduled to be Kenta Maeda against Marcus Stroman. Saturday is Ross Stripling against R.A. Dickey. Sunday, Clayton Kershaw against Marco Estrada. So that is for the upcoming 3-game series against the Dodgers. A lot of people getting kind of worked up about that. It's always great to see the Dodgers come in here. And Vince Scully as well.
That's awesome.
Going to be here. That'll be tremendous.
You going to get a photo with him?
You know what? I might
do that too.
I might do that.
Me too.
I might do that.
He's a living legend, man. Why not?
Yeah. So that's going to be way cool. And the rest of the pitching matchups, we already talked about Estrada, Martin Perez tonight, Colby Lewis, Aaron Sanchez tomorrow, Derek Holland, and Jay Happ in the final game of the series. I want to take a look around the affiliates very quickly. The Buffalo Bisons are 11-13. They beat Scranton 5-3. Wade LeBlanc, whose nickname is, I believe, Frenchie, 5 1/3 innings. I think it is. 7 home runs, 7 strikeouts.
That'd be a good guess.
7 strikeouts. Casey Kochman, Andy Burns, 2-4. The Fisher Cats, the New Hampshire Fisher Cats, hey, they're off to an 8-13 start. They lost 3-2 to Reading. The Dunedin Blue Jays, hey, they're off to an 11-13 start. They lost 8-2 in Brevard County. Michael Bourne, who, of course, was signed by the Blue Jays, 2-4 with a triple, a walk, and a couple of strikeouts. The Lansing Lugnuts, 14-8. They beat Cedar Rapids 4-1. So, Marco Estrada against this lineup tonight, this Texas lineup. I looked at this team, and I thought going into the season, I think the Rangers are one of the best teams in baseball. If they can keep it together till Yu Darvish gets back, they're going to be a handful.
Yeah, they're pretty good. I think they stick together. I think they want to play together, which is a huge deal at this level, you know.
I think they've got a bit of a chip in their shoulders after last year, you know that?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I just think they understand now they're good. Last year they didn't. Last year they were unsure. They didn't really know, you don't really know what you got. You don't know where you're going, and now they know if they play defense the way they can pitch and they get a timely hit, they're going to win a lot of games, and they can get back to doing that. It's that simple. It's, you know, when you add talent and confidence together, 1-9 or 1-25, and know that, hey, if I run my best stuff out there confidently, we're going to get it done. That's lethal. That's what they are.
So again, it'll be Marco Estrada against Martin Perez tonight. First pitch at 7:00 on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Jerry, Joe, and Mike with the call of the game. Mike Wilner will be talking you off the ledge after the game in the Blue Jays talk.
What did you say? It's early.
It is early. It's always early. You know what? That's what we're going to have in Mike Wilner. When he dies in his gravestone, it's early.
It's 11:51.
11:51. The Jays game is also on Sportsnet Ontario tonight. 6:30, Blue Jays Central with Mr. Campbell and Mr. Zahn. That is it for us in Baseball Central. For Sean Casey, Kevin Barker, for the previous 2 hours, Stephen Brunn, I'm Jeff Blair. Thanks for joining us. Enjoy the baseball. We'll talk to you tomorrow when Baseball Central returns. The home of the Blue Jays, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Sportsnet 590, The Fan.